This is Morning Edition on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows.
I'm Brooke Gladstone, and on this week's On the Media, reporters ask presidential hopefuls if they would have gone into Iraq, quote, knowing what we know now. And the public is misled again.
Every time people pose the question that way, they conceal the real history of the Iraq War.
Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Sunday afternoons at 3 and again Monday mornings at 10 on AM 580.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. A father's love for a fallen son inspires a Memorial Day tradition, and that tradition led to this hit country song. We'll check in on a Gold Star dad at a national cemetery next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Weekdays starting at noon on AM 580.
WILL programming is made possible by Community Concierge Magazine. Every issue includes an event calendar, attractions, and maps, as well as a business and shopping guide. Community Concierge Magazine is distributed throughout East Central Illinois and always presents the CU area at its best.
Happy Memorial Day. It's Morning Edition on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows, and coming up, the French Open is in its second day of play in Paris. We'll have a look with Sports Illustrated tennis writer Courtney Wynn. Markets are closed for Memorial Day, so no commodity market reports on AM 580 today. The closing market report will air as usual at 2:06 p.m. Showers and thunderstorms likely this morning. A slight chance of showers and isolated storms this afternoon. The high 85, currently partly sunny and 71 degrees at Willard Airport.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The tennis world is focused on Paris this week. The French Open got underway yesterday, and a few big names are hoping it's a chance to make tennis history. For more, we're joined now by Sports Illustrated writer Courtney Nguyen. She's on the line from Paris. Welcome.
Bonjour.
Yeah, bonjour to you. Well, let's talk about one of the French Open's favorites, Rafael Nadal. He's won 9 of the last 10 times, but he enters this tournament under a bit of a cloud. So tell us what the story is there.
Normally, we presume that Rafael Nadal is just going to tear right through it and really establish the reasons why he's considered the greatest clay player in the history of the game. But this year, he comes into the French Open without a European red clay title for the first time in his career. He had an injury that knocked him out last year and has really been kind of building his level ever since. And while all of that is happening with him, we have Novak Djokovic, who is the number one player on the men's tour. He's been absolutely dominant in 2015, having won the Australian Open. He comes into Paris on a 22-match win streak, and this is the slam he wants. It would complete his set of all 4 majors in his career, and he comes in incredibly focused and just on form. So the combination of Rafa not playing his best and the surge of Novak Djokovic creates one of the most wide-open French Opens that we've seen in the last decade.
And on the ladies' side, an American favorite, Serena Williams, she's chasing an even bigger piece of history this year. Steffi Graf's record, 22 major victories. Can Serena do it?
Serena can absolutely do it. She's obviously 33 years old, getting up there in age, but we say that, and yet she is the number one player on the women's tour, and by a fairly large margin when she can play her best tennis. Now, the question is, can she play her best tennis? Can she sustain a top level in 7 matches over 2 weeks? This is historically the most difficult major for her to win. But if she gets this title, you know, we kind of start to think a little bit about whether or not she can win actually all 4 majors this year. And for her to be able to complete the calendar slam at 33 years old would be one of the most ridiculous feats in sports ever.
Courtney, I understand that on the first day of play yesterday, the big surprise was actually a security scare. They took it pretty seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it was really unfortunate. Roger Federer won his opening round match fairly easily. And as he was walking off the court, a young fan was able to get past security out on the big court, Court Philippe Chatrier, and try and take a selfie with Roger. Now, you know, in most sports, I think you can probably say, well, fans breach the grounds all the time. But in tennis, we take this incredibly seriously, given the incident back in 1993 with the stabbing of Monica Seles by a deranged fan. So Roger Federer made it very clear he was not happy about it. And so it caused quite a kerfluffle. The tournament director had to give a press conference and kind of attempt to reassure people. I'm not sure he did. I think that he kind of dismissed it a little bit as a one-off and said that the security issues at the French Open were fine, but this is not the first time we've seen this happen here at Roland Garros.
That's Sports Illustrated reporter Courtney Nguyen joining us from the French Open in Paris. Thank you.
No problem. Anytime.
Let's go now to the south of France for another story of athletic triumph. We're about to meet a surfer who endured a horrific shark attack. And despite losing a leg, he's now more active than ever. Here's Emma Jacobs.
At the indoor skate park in Marseille, Eric Dargent stands out for two reasons. One, at 37, he's about two decades older than the rest of the people on skateboards and bicycles. The other is that the shorts he wears for skateboarding reveal his prosthetic leg. It's been 4 years since Dargent lost his leg surfing when he was attacked by a shark. And he's happy to demonstrate it hasn't slowed him down.
The difficulty of this sport. When you surf, if you do a mistake, you fall in the water and it's no more pain. But in skating, it's very difficult for this.
Dargent always loved surfing, even after the accident, which took place while he was on vacation on an island in the Indian Ocean. He spent 3 weeks in the hospital after the attack, during which he was allowed just one outing. He and his wife went to a beach, a long, narrow strip shaded by tall trees.
And when I see the ocean, I say to my wife, it's incredible because when I see the water, I want to go back in the water.
Today, his wife, standing in the kitchen of their home outside Marseille, says she hoped it would remain just a wish. Dargent returned here to begin his rehabilitation. His leg had been removed above the knee, which makes recovering a full range of movement a lot more difficult.
I search on the internet if other person surf like me, and I find other person who are amputee under the knee, but not above the knee.
His first doctor told him he would never surf. He consulted others. Finally, one prosthetist, also an amputee, told him he didn't know if it was possible, but that he would do everything he could to help.
I surfing before walking.
Is that true?
Yeah. I think it's I walk in the same time I surf. Yeah.
He was back on a surfboard in 3.5 months. Walking took 4 or 5. In his garage, Dargent has a collection of surfboards and modified prosthetic knees and feet for different activities. His first foot for surfing has what looks like part of a rubber flip-flop glued to the bottom for traction. Since his first early experiments at modifying his mechanical knee, developing better prosthetics for amputees to surf has become his main activity, along with raising money to buy people the expensive equipment.
It's not only sports, but I think it's passion. You can do, if your passion is read book, I think that can help you. But for me, it's sports. I read book too, but my passion is surf.
He shares that at workshops and meetings. And he'll point out that he's seen people take to the water who had never surfed before they lost a limb.
The passion in surfing is very special. The sensation of liberty, the sensation to fly above the water, I think it's like drugs, but a good drugs.
It's difficult sometimes, he says, to explain to friends and family why he's still out on the water all day. But he's also someone who's had a brush with death, and he's found that being back out there makes him feel alive. For NPR News, I'm Emma Jacobs in Marseille, France.
Emma Jacobs is an NPR Above the Fray Fellow, sponsored by the John Alexander Project. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
On the next Fresh Air, composer Philip Glass talks about his life, including the early days when his music sounded so radical, some audience members threw things at him. One jumped up and started banging on Glass's piano.
Without thinking about it, I stood up and I punched him on the jaw or something, and just like in the comic books, he fell off the stage.
Join us
Weekday mornings at 11 and again at 7 p.m. on AM 580.
Morning Edition continues now on WILL AM 580. Showers and thunderstorms likely this morning. Weather forecast calls for a slight chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. It's a breezy day with a high of 85. Partly sunny skies at Willard Airport now, 71 degrees, 72 at Decatur. Cloudy and 69 at Danville and Mattoon. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3, Urbana.
Good morning. President Obama is adamant he won't send troops to Iraq to fight ISIS, even as his defense secretary questions Iraqi troops will. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The Islamic State appears to be emerging in Afghanistan. We'll hear from the commander of U.S. and NATO forces there. An Iranian-American reporter goes on trial in Iran after 10 months in prison. Also, a fashion photographer turns his camera towards vets with a focus on their scars. It's Monday, May 25th. On this Memorial Day, we'll remember one soldier who died after fighting in Vietnam. John H. McCarthy was injured in a blast back in 1968. He survived long enough to write home and tell his mother, "Don't worry." The news is next.